echo what I heard on my way home.
Thanks, God.
I want to share tonight a little bit about decisions that we make. We all have to make decisions, sometimes every day of the week. I'm not talking about decisions like what to have for breakfast. I'm not talking about big decisions. What we might need to talk about relationship decisions or decisions regarding the houses we live in and the plans. We make plans. And I want to read tonight, and I think you'll be aware, you'll certainly be aware of it, about two men, or two people in the scriptures that had to make some very important decisions. It's a very well-known portion of scripture. It's found in Mark's Gospel, and it's chapter 5. I believe this message tonight is, it's actually one the Lord gave me way back in 2005, about 5 years ago. And as I was waiting upon the Lord in the week, you know, the Lord just reminded me of this message and just prompted me that to dig out some notes that I made and bring that tonight. Yeah. In Mark's Gospel chapter 5 we read of two people. I'm going to start the reading at verse 21. And just read through to the end of the chapter. And there's quite a few verses here that you'll know the story very well. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any more?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw an uproar, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and she walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. And he said that something should be given her to eat." Amen.
Amen.
You know, a well-known portion of scripture there where Jesus just got off the boat. He'd been at the other side and at the lake and preaching and teaching and ministering. And he arrives back on this side of the lake, and immediately he's met by a ruler of the synagogue who says, come down to my house. My daughter is sick. And on the way, he gets interrupted by another needy lady who pushes through a crowd and draws on the supply and receives healing herself. Now I said this is a message about decisions. Before you can make a decision, you need to know your destination. If you get on a bus, if you tell the driver of the bus or the person collecting the fares, it's normally the driver nowadays, they've done away with the conductors, but you tell him where you want to go, and you pay the fare, or if you're one of these ones that are blessed with the free bus pass, which you don't have to pay, but you still have to get on the bus, and you make that decision, or you get a taxi, you tell the person where you want to go, what your destination is, and then you go on the journey. Then you don't get on the bus, or you don't get in the taxi, and the chap says, where do you want to go? And he says, I haven't got a clue. You know your destination before you get on the bus, you know your destination before you get on the plane, you know your destination before you get in the taxi. Or even when you get in your own car and drive, you have an idea where you're going, and that helps you make the decisions you need to make to reach the destination. Now these two quite separate accounts in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, yes they are separate, but they're connected in more ways than just appearing in the same portion of Scripture. This is something you can remember. If you're taking notes or anything, you write this down. It says, you are today what yesterday's decisions made you. You are today what yesterday's decisions made you. What you decided yesterday or last week has made you into what you want to be today. And it's a series of events. You know, some years ago, I'm trying to think how long ago it was now. It probably was about 5 years ago. My youngest daughter, she had to go through her that phase in her career, like her school career, where she had to pick what exam she was going to take to what is now GCSE. You and I knew them as O levels, and she came up. What am I going to sort of study? What am I going to follow? What course of action am I going to take? Well, I said, really, it's your decision. You've got to make the choice. You've got to sit and study for the next 2 years on these subjects. There would be no use her saying, well, I want to get a history qualification and not choose to do the exam. She's got to make that decision. And she had to make that 2 years ahead of her time. She made that in 2005, she took her exam in 2007. So she made a decision 2 years ahead that she wanted to study so and so. When I had to take my O-levels, I had to choose. And I had a tough decision because I really wanted, mainly because I knew it was almost a guaranteed O-level, I wanted to do RE. I've been growing up, I've been a pastor's son for 43 years. Ever since I was born, my dad's been in the ministry. And I grew up in church, I knew my Bible, and I read the Bible. And in actual fact, I got to the stage in RE lessons where the teachers hated me because I would contradict almost everything they said. And I got a name in school. I didn't set out to do it, but I just stood up for what I believed the Bible said. And they didn't like it. And in the end, they left me to it. But I thought, well, an RE is going to be a guaranteed O-level for me because I pretty much knew what the syllabus was. It was studying the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. I knew those, and I thought, well, this will be easy. That's the honest truth. Well, this will be an easy one. But choosing RE meant I had to omit taking something else I wanted to take. And that put me in a tough decision. I always wanted to, you might think this is strange for a fella, but I always wanted to do cookery in school. I wanted to And I still have those aspirations of chefiness, if you like. You know, I take control of the kitchen when I'm home, and I've got all the equipment, the knives, and Jane, my wife, she knows when I'm in the kitchen, when I just leave me alone. You know, I'll chop the veg, and actually, in fact, most Sundays after the service, we go home and I prepare the dinner, and then let her just rest. Because I had those aspirations as a teenager to cook and to prepare, and you know, I just followed that through. But I wanted to do that to O-level, but because I chose REI. That perhaps was a wrong decision I made. I should have taken the cookery course and sort of left the REI aside. But never mind, that was a decision that made, and it made me today what I am. And what my daughter decided will make her in a few years' time when she's finished her college course and she goes out and decides what she wants to do and how she wants to live, that will prepare her. So we are today what our decisions made us. The choices we make today will affect what happens tomorrow and next week and next year, God willing. Now Jairus, you'll see in verse 23, he had to make a decision. And he came to Jesus. You know, Jesus' reputation went ahead of him. You know, they knew who Jesus was when he landed in the book. Oh, this is the miracle worker from Capernaum. You know, this is the one who's opened the eyes of the blind. This is the one who's made the deaf hear, the lame walk. You know, that reputation preceded him. And Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, this religious man, he thought, well, if I can just get to Jesus, if I get Jesus to come to my house, my daughter will be made whole. And that's his decision. Look at verse 23. It says, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. She's going to live if you come down to my house. That was what he decided. And this is, no doubt he talked himself up, he'd encouraged himself. Yeah, if Jesus just touched it, he did it in Capernaum, he did it there, he did it there, he did it all. If she can just come to my house, my daughter will get well. He'll lay his hands on her and she will live. And that's what he said. He came to Jesus with that request. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And it says that Jesus went with him. Jesus went with, did you know a quality decision made in faith gets God's attention. And he starts to move. He turns toward you. You know, it's something a lot of people struggle with. And we need to understand that God does not respond to needs. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yeah, God will meet our needs, but he doesn't respond to needs. You can have as many needs as you like, that doesn't mean God is going to meet those needs. But God does respond to faith. He does respond to, you know, a decision made in faith that the Lord will meet my need. We go to God, we bring our needs to him, yeah, and then we've got promises of Scripture says that, yeah, he's faithful and just, he's going to forgive us our sins, we've got need of salvation, we go to him, he will forgive us. And other needs, all our other needs, promised to be met. But God doesn't respond to it. If he did, there would be no need in places like India and Africa and across the world. You know, when the earthquake struck in Haiti, so just before Christmas and sort of that sort of time, you know, there would be no need because God would instantly move and minister to the need. But there is need because God doesn't respond to people's needs. He responds to people's faith. When we cry out to him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the scripture says. You know, God responds to need. It wasn't his daughter's need that caused Jesus to go with him. He says, my daughter lies at the point of death. Now that wasn't the turning point. He says, but you come, you lay your hands on her, she may be healed and she will live. That she may be healed. Well, not that she may be healed, but yeah, she will be healed and she will live. You know, and that's what Jesus responded to. That statement, that decision that Jairus made. Come down, lay your hands on her, and she'll live. You see it throughout the scriptures. And the order, the centurion came for his servant. And he said, all you've got to do is just speak the word. Just say the word. Don't even have to come down to man. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus says, hey, this guy, he's got some faith. Jesus didn't respond because of the centurion's need, that his servant was sick. He responded because he said, look, he saw in this centurion, in fact, I'm the man of authority. I've got people under me. I say to one, go, and he goes to another, come here, and he comes, do this, and he does it. He said, all you've got to do, Jesus, is just speak that word, and it'll be done. And Jesus responded. Now, as he was on his way, he goes down, he starts his journey down to Jairus' house. And you know what? We read it in the scriptures, you know the story, that this woman that had been sick for 12 years, this was a very sick woman. You know, she'd been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. She, that's what does the Bible say here? So she suffered many things, verse 26, from many physicians. She'd been to every physician in town. She'd been to every doctor, every specialist. The Bible says there, it doesn't just say she suffered many things, from many physicians, it says she spent all that she had. Everything she owned, she'd spent. She'd sold off and spent the money, trying to get well. The Bible tells us that she was no better. In actual fact, she was getting worse. She was getting worse by the day, by the week. Every hour that went by, this woman was feeling worse and worse. Her condition was deteriorating. You know, she too made a conscious decision. If I can just get to Jesus, I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I shall be made well. That's what verse 28 says. She said, this was her decision. If I may but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And it was that decision that drew the power out of Jesus. It was that faith decision. That faith, you know, she reached out in faith, she touched his garment. And the Bible says that power went out from Jesus. And immediately she was healed and made whole. God always responds to a decision made in faith. He always does. You know, when you came to the Lord the very first time, that was a faith decision that you're going to put your trust in him. And did any one of you not receive forgiveness? No, because God always responds to a decision made in faith. But once you've made the decision, it's not enough just say, well, that's it. It's all going to happen, all in the plan of God. I've made my decision now. I've made my faith statement. And that's you've got to be determined and stick with it. And that's what these two people here did. Once you've made that decision, you've got to be determined, stick with it, and follow it through to completion. When the going gets tough, you know what they say? It's not the tough gets going. The tough stick with it. When the going gets tough, you've got to stick with it. You've got to hang on. That's why, it's the wrong time of the year now, but that's why so many New Year's resolutions, you know, don't even make it past the end of January. It's not that people haven't got the desire and they don't make the decision, but when it gets really tough, they think, oh, blow this. I can't be doing with this. I can't be going on starving myself and then trying to get thin. You know, that cake in the corner looks so gorgeous. You've got to be that determination. You've got to stick with the decision. You've got to hang in there. You know, I want to just read to you a couple of little things which about determination. There were a few people that had quite an impact on my life. At the time when I first sort of got this message, one of those was the athlete, Paula Radcliffe. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back in 2004, you know, she had to pull out of running some long distance races. Now, she had her reasons, she had her, she made the decision, it was her, completely in her court, so to speak. But she pulled up and she dropped out of the races, and she didn't finish the race, and she wasn't crowned with the prize. You know, that will probably, I don't like to use these words, but that probably keep coming back time and again and to haunt her. You know, that I dropped out of the race, I didn't finish, I didn't do it, I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. But then on the other hand, there was a man, many years ago, I'm trying to think how long that was now, 1954, 6th of May, that's where I was born, 6th of May, Roger Bannister. He smashed the 4 minute, well, smashed the 4 minute, he just got it in under the 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 59.9 seconds. Down there in Oxford, at the running track in Oxford, he broke that world record, that 4 minute mile. And one of the things he once said was this: when you're running a race, the only thing on your mind is the finishing line. You're not so much worried about who's coming up behind you. My dad used to do a little bit of running in his youth, and he would tell, you might have a quick glance back every now and then to see where your eyes firmly fixed on the winning tape. And you've got to get to the winning tape. And that's the only thing that should be in your psyche at the time. You've got to get to that finish line. Doesn't matter what's going on, and determination will get you there. It was, Roy Castle, wasn't it, his record breakers. You know, he says dedication is what you need if you want to be a record breaker. You know, you've got to have determination if you want to, you've got to go and you're making a decision, you've got to go on. Now, there was another woman, I read her book around this time. Her name was Fiona Campbell. I don't know if you've heard of her. You know, she set herself out to walk across Africa. I think she did America and she's Australia as well. But at the time, she was walking across Africa. And in her book, she says here, she was so determined to finish what she set out to do that she had to return to Africa two times. She went back there twice, because it was considered too dangerous for her to do it on the first occasion. She was evacuated, she had to cross war-torn countries through volatile situations. But on the 1st of September in 1993, she arrived at the place where she first set out to her destination. You know, she set off in, I think it was Cape Town, she walked all the way up through nations of Africa. I can't remember exactly now where she finished her walk, but she got there. Determination. Took her 3 attempts, but she did it. Another one of, actually one of my sort of sporting heroes, if you like, and that's the sailor, Ellen MacArthur. You know, she battled the toughest seas. Icy seas, exhaustion. She had failures in the rigging and the sails. She had a collision with a submerged object, which, had she let it, would have cost her not only the race, but maybe her life. And it says in her book, even though she was exhausted, battered black and blue, and all alone in the middle of the southern oceans, those things did not deter her from her aim of finishing the race. And then on the 11th of February 2001, just 24 years of age, Ellen sailed into port as the fastest woman to circumnavigate the globe. You know, there are other people, you know, that their determination won them the prize. What did Paul say? He says, I forget what's going on behind and I reach forward. I press on. I've got to go for the prize. Determination. You know, this woman in this scripture, she was determined. She said, look, I'm going to press through. Verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. I think it's the old King James says, came behind him in the press. You know, if you've ever been in a busy place and you've got to press through, perhaps a station, a railway station, you're trying to catch a train. You know, there's a lot of people. You've got to push your way through. I remember once as a young lad, my grandmother took me up to Buckingham Palace. And there was something going, don't know what it was that was going on, but there was crowds all around the fence, all around the perimeter of the palace. And my nan, she didn't move that quick. You know, she was an elderly woman, but I remember, you know, just pushing through between the legs of some of the people standing there and getting through to the front. You can't do it now, but you know, you climb up onto the railings and hold on and see what's going on. You know, this woman pressed through the crowd. You know, she wasn't going to be put off by others. She wasn't going to allow any obstacles to finish her and defeat her. Determination overcomes all those obstacles. It overcomes every situation, every circumstance that will seek to hinder you and seek to prevent you from getting your victory. Jairus. Now he's an interesting man. While he was, Jesus was ministering to this woman and speaking to her, news came from his house that his daughter had just died. Now I don't know about you, but many people would, that's it then. We're finished. But not Jairus. He'd listened. He'd heard what had been going on. I think that made him more determined to get Jesus to his house. Yeah, the situation had become suddenly worse. But what did Jesus tell him? Now this is going to be my words, not what it says in the scriptures. Jesus says, do not be afraid, only believe. In other words, you say, hey Jairus, stick with it. Keep on. Come on Jairus. Just keep believing. Keep that faith going. And you'll be okay. And to move on to your destination. Yes, you've got to make the decision. You've got to be determined and stick with it. But you've got to get rid or dispel every fear and every unbelief. Every obstacle. Everything which will come across your path. This woman, she got rid of all her doubts and her fears. You know what happened when she got healed? Jesus knew that she'd touched in faith because the power had gone out of him. Jesus knew that somebody had reached out in faith and drawn on the supply. It says here in the scriptures, it says that fear and trembling, verse 33. She knew what had happened to her. She came and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. She was fearing and trembling, but she got rid of all those fears. She got rid of all those senses. It was me. Then she told him the story. She told him how she'd suffered all this time. That wasn't the only thing. Do you know, stood next to Jesus on that day when the woman pressed through it. Do you know who stood next to Jesus? Jairus. And if Jairus wasn't ready, he was the ruler of the synagogue. One thing about Jairus, the certain one thing about this woman we do know, she had an issue of blood, the scripture says. Now that under Mosaic law made her unclean. She was not allowed to be in a public place. She was not allowed to press through the crowd and because she wanted to mix with others. She had to be kept apart until her time of her purification. In other words, she'd broken the law. Jairus stood next to Jesus, was one of the men in the locality who could have had her put to death. Take her to the priest, have her condemned. She's broken the law. He's the ruler of the synagogue. She's broken the law. But she put all that aside. She said, it was me. I reached out. I touched. And I've been made whole. Now for Jairus, this woman's healing could have been the perfect excuse for him. Say, if we hadn't been delayed, if this woman hadn't delayed us, my daughter would still be alive. And Jesus could minister healing. But I believe what Jairus did, he would have heard the words Jesus spoke to this woman. He was stood right next to him. Jesus was on his way to his house. And he would have heard how faith had made her whole. That's what Jesus said to him, verse 34. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He would have heard those words spoken. That would have encouraged him. Yeah, faith worked for this woman. And no matter that news had just arrived from home that his daughter had died, he chose to do what Jesus told him to do. Keep believing. Don't be afraid, Jairus. Only believe. Keep at it. Stick with it. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of the unbelief. And stick with it. You know, don't make any room to entertain any doubt, any fear or unbelief. And faith will bring your decision to its destination. See what Jesus did when he got to Jairus' house. Says in verse 40, it says, when he had put them all outside. You know, round Jairus' house were people crying and weeping and wailing, saying, oh, she's dead. And he got rid of them all. Put them all out. Made no room for doubt and unbelief. Made no room for fear. Make no room for these things. Faith has a destination. And those that make a quality faith decision, determined to stick with it, get rid of all unbelief and fear and doubt, they will arrive at their destination. You know, this woman received her healing. Jairus received his daughter. You know, these aren't the only two in scriptures. We read about, what about the four friends that brought the tick of the palsy? You know, they were determined. They made the decision to get their friend to Jesus. And they were going to get into Jesus no matter what. And they went up, they had to break through the roof of the house. And they lowered him down at Jesus' feet. They got there to their destination. Then there was Bartimaeus, a man who was blind, sat by the roadside. Told to shut up and be quiet. Jesus wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And he said, he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out all the more, the scripture says. Yeah. He cried out loud that he wasn't going to be put off. He was made that decision that he was going to get to Jesus that day. And Bartimaeus received his sight. You know, there's just a few. You know, there's others in the scriptures. We haven't got time tonight to go through them all. Decisions that determine your destiny. Mm. Every decision you make will affect what happens to you tomorrow, next week, next year, as the Lord gives us time.
Praise God.
Obviously the greatest decision is to know Jesus as your personal Saviour. But you can make all the decisions. You've got to make the right decisions. And the right decision is to first to God. But I suspect tonight that we're all saved and born again in here, but you know, we've got to reach out in faith, because faith will get us to our destination. You know, faith, if we don't give up, we stick at it, keep on believing, we'll get there.
Amen.
You know, I started off talking about getting on the bus. Listen, if you're on the bus and you want to get off, you're going shopping, you're going to Leicester on the bus. You're not going to just get the other side of the A46 and get off the bus. If you want to go to Leicester, you want to stay on the bus until it gets to its destination. Don't get off too early, because you haven't arrived at your destination. Don't give up too soon. You know, somebody once said this, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, that too often, you know, we ask God, we say God is... We want this from God, but then we settle for second best. We settle for less than the best from God. We say, all right, then I'll have that. You know, you don't want to get off too early off the bus, do you? You don't want to get the taxi to drop you a few houses short. You want him to drop you at your door. You know, just stick at it. You're like that athlete, Roger Bannister. You know, set his focus on the winning line.
Amen.
And in faith, go with God. Amen. stick with him until you get what you want. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.